WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Progressive Insurance.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. A major university has issued a warning to its international students. CBS's Jim Crisula with the latest.
Duke University has sent out a notice advising its international students not to travel outside the U.S. over the summer break. The university says the advice applies to legal permanent residents and green card holders. Duke says students who must travel internationally should talk to the school's visa services liaison or contact an immigration lawyer.
The FDA is asking the food industry to stop using synthetic food dyes found in many items on supermarket shelves, and they plan to phase out 8 petroleum-based colors. FDA head Marty McCarry.
Taking petroleum-based food dyes out of the food supply is not a silver bullet that will instantly make America's children healthy, but it is one important step.
Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth is defending himself against another assertion that he shared classified material through an unapproved and unsecured network, this time taking airstrike information from a military communications channel and sharing it in a chat with his wife, his brother, and others. CBS's Charlie Daggett says this is the second incident.
Calls into question his judgment in sharing highly sensitive information, including specific takeoff times, with people who clearly wouldn't have the kind of clearance to know that information. He insisted again, not classified, instead informal, unclassified coordinations.
The White House says Hegseth is doing a tremendous job. The Vatican says that Pope Francis will lie in state at St. Peter's Basilica starting tomorrow until his funeral, which will be held on Saturday. Francis is remembered as the People's Pope. His second cousin, Sister Anna Rosa Savory, works as a missionary in Thailand, and she spoke about him.
Very strong person, strong in the thinking, no? He will, whatever he will say.
The Oscars are embracing artificial intelligence, with a caveat.
Let's remember something. I put you where you are today.
Robert De Niro acknowledged AI helped alter his voice in The Alto Knights, and it enhanced Adrian Brody's Hungarian accent for his Oscar-winning performance in The Brutalist.
The people here, they do not want us here.
Now, the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences says artificial intelligence will not disqualify a movie from Oscar consideration, but it will favor films with more human involvement. Deborah Rodriguez, CBS News.
Opening statements begin tomorrow in former movie mogul Harvey Weinstein's rape retrial, this time with a majority female jury deciding the landmark hashtag MeToo case. Weinstein has pleaded not guilty to rape and sexual assault charges. This is CBS News.
A riddle brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What do your home and auto have in common? Progressive protects them both. It was an easy riddle. Learn more at progressive.com.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
The Bucks lose again. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks losing to the Pacers in Indianapolis. The final 123-115 in favor of the Pacers. Indy dominated the game throughout. Bucks only pulling to within 5 points with just a few minutes left in the fourth quarter. Giannis Antetokounmpo had 34 points. Damian Lillard, in his first game back, played 37 minutes, scored 14 points. Game three of the series, Friday night in Milwaukee at Fiserv Forum. Tip-off time, 7 o'clock. The Pacers now lead the best-of-seven series, 2 games to nothing. Baseball, Brewers and Giants playing tonight in San Francisco. NFL, the draft coming up in Green Bay on Thursday night. I asked Brian Gutekunst about a former first-round draft pick, Lucas Van Ness, and what does he expect from him this year at defensive end?
Yeah, we have high expectations for Lucas. We always kind of have. Obviously, we took him very early, but we're very excited where he is on his developmental path and expect big things from him this year. So certainly, if we're going to get to where we want to go to, he's going to be a big part of that.
That's Packers GM Brian Gutekunst with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Mostly cloudy skies. Light northwest winds developing in the overnight as lows drop to the mid-40s. We'll see shower and thunderstorm chances on the increase for Wednesday. Mostly cloudy skies. Winds turning to the southeast as our highs top out in the upper 50s. Currently 46 degrees.
Maggie Dawn,
It's the first official Drive Time Maggie Dawn show. We kick off the program with Congresswoman Gwen Moore. And stick around, we'll be joined by the CEO of the Milwaukee Brewers.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding, just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, doctor, the advantage of being a high school dropout is what you don't have. Like, you don't get it.
Derek Van Orden wants you to know that as a kid, he was on food stamps. He was raised by a single mom. Just for fair disclosure, me too. Attacking and belittling a witness, using your personal story to somehow justify it, it doesn't make you right. The bottom line, as I know, and you should know too, you can be raised by a single mom and still not be a jackass.
Catch Mornings with Pat Kreitlow at its new time, weekdays 6 to 9 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Your new choice. Real news. Great conversation. 540
WAUK. You're listening to pre-recorded content.
And not everything I'm going to talk about today is illegal. But everything that I'm going to talk about today is bad for regular Americans.
Now, the Maggie Dawn Show continues.
I'm a geek. I'm a nerd. I'm a data wonk.
From Congress and courts to burgers and baseball.
I talk about food a lot on the show. It's a thing. I am a foodie.
Once again, here's lawyer and economist Maggie Dawn.
Welcome, 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 welcome back. If you're rejoining us, my name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. One of the great privileges that I've had in my career is that some of the folks that I've been able to meet through government service, and now by doing this show with all of you every day, is that some of the people who you come across eventually become friends. And it is especially and deeply humbling when those people are also people whom you admire a great deal. And my next guest, I am very proud and humbled to call not just a friend, but someone who I look to as a mentor and someone who is a thoughtful public servant, honest even when painful, and an all-around great guy. It's a real pleasure, Peter, to have you with me today on my last day in this 2-4 time slot, ladies and gentlemen. I got former Congressman, former Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Revenue, Peter Barca. Welcome back to the show, Peter.
Well, great to be with you, Maggie. I'm back at you. It's terrific to be with you once again. I've done the show quite a few times, and it's always very intellectually intriguing and usually pretty vibrant discussions.
Yes.
And now there's more to talk about than maybe in the last 20 years.
Yeah, it is. It seems that I am always breathless. Not because, or just because of my emotional state, but breathless because it's almost impossible to get through all of the important news of the day, even in 2 hours.
Right.
Peter, I wanted to ask you about Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson, whom just said some really bonkers stuff about 9/11. And my take is that Ron Johnson has always been sort of a ready and willing peddler of falsehoods. And Ron's a smart man. You know, I don't think he believes much of this stuff, but Ron knows how to use both techno speak and like the right little nugget of truth to sort of fool the unwitting into believing the big lie, right? And he recently said some stupid things, untrue things, conspiracy theories, if you will, about one of our nation's greatest tragedies, 9/11. Let's take a listen. This conversation that the senator had over a long period of, it was much longer. We've distilled it down to its most essential nugget.
Okay.
So take a listen, Peter.
Because I'm not familiar with
yes,
it.
Yes, so. I love it. I love it. We can learn together. Let's take a listen. This is Senator Ron Johnson. I believe this news broke just yesterday.
What would you like to know about September 11th, the official story there, Senator?
Well, start with Building 7. Again, I don't know that you can find structural engineers other than the ones that had the corrupt investigation inside NIST that would say that that thing didn't come down in any other way than a controlled demolition. I mean, you just look at that. You talk about molten steel. Again, you listen to the documentary Bravo 7. There's an awful lot of questions.
An awful lot of questions? A controlled demolition? I mean, what the man's saying, at least by my listen, Peter, and I've listened to the longer cut, it's basically 9/11 was an inside job. Like, somebody meant to do this. The government knew about it. This wasn't a terrorist attack.
Mm-hmm.
What a disgrace to the memory of all those people who died that day. But Ron Johnson's stock and trade seems to have become betray the middle class and betray fundamental... your obligation to tell the truth as an elected official in a way that undermines democracy. I mean, he's a January 6th conspiracy theorist. He's the old mouthwash cures COVID.
Mm-hmm.
Global warming's good because less Wisconsinites will die. Screw the, you know, states on the coast and anybody, you know, in sub-Saharan Africa. And now this. I mean, when you hear this from someone who holds one of the most powerful positions in all of government. I mean, there's only 100 senators. You're a longtime public servant, Peter. What's your immediate reaction to that, both on an intellectual and just an emotional basis?
Well, it's shocking on so many different levels. I mean, first of all, his implication that NIST somehow jimmied the evidence to cover, you know, to protect this cover-up is just shocking. I mean, I just don't know, you know, what interest, and you know, they would have in doing that. But then secondly, the other thing that's sort of just so puzzling about it is George, you know, W. Bush was president. So as a Republican president, I mean, if you were going to implicate a Democratic president, which he does with great regularity, that would be one thing. So it's hard to understand, like, does he feel like George Bush did this in order to make himself look good, then stand up for, you know, the American people? I mean, I have no idea what in the world he's trying to
the end game
suggest or what the point is of bringing this up. I mean, he obviously must feel that somehow, you know, there was some inside job. It's what he's claiming. But I think it really cries out for, you know, for him to come clean and say, okay, then tell us what it is that you suspect and why you think that there was some inside effort here.
And, well, I mean, his claim, just in the clip we heard, and I've heard similar allegations, that, hey, I'm a structural engineer, and I don't think it was possible for this building or that to come down in this way. My response to that, as a lawyer, right, is I heard, for example, bite mark experts tell me that they had exact matches based on certain science. I have heard fire marshals tell me, well, this is clearly arson because of this burn pattern. And it was wrong,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, science isn't completely infallible. And finding one or two, you know, tail of the bell curve structural engineers that provide an opinion that that couldn't happen when I'm sorry, Ron. What other controlled tests of jet engine fuel-based explosions in large towers of nearly 90 stories have you seen? But like,
right. No, that's perfectly expressed, Maggie, because, you know, like you said so articulately, maybe it is the end of the bell curve that something of this would occur. But then again, you know, there aren't a lot of instances where we've been able to study this. Now, granted, you know, science can replicate things
correct.
In a lab. But, you know, labs are not perfect either because, you know, it doesn't control wind flow. It doesn't control other independent variables that could have come to play here. But to get off the wonkiness side of the equation, I mean, it's like, you know, he must have some theory then of who he thinks is
right.
responsible for this. So he should say who in the world it is. I mean, you know, as you indicated, he's in a very powerful position. There aren't too many people that have been elected to three terms.
And have access to people often presume, right? You hear a senator or even a crackpot like MTG say certain things, and people assume you're in a better position to know than I am. I don't know any structural engineers. I might not know what NIST is. By the way, I think it's the National Institutes of Science and Technology.
That's exactly it. I mean, you've got people who are engineers that, you know, they obviously, as he indicated, came to the conclusion that most people would rightfully come to, because, you know, we did in fact find out what terrorists were responsible for this. And thankfully we got the mastermind of it all. So why he thinks that there was some other inside collaborator on this Building 7, I think he's referring to, I mean, just it defies common sense. So, but even if he does have some theory, then he has a responsibility, not just throw out things like he unfortunately does way too often.
Yes.
Without any evidence, without any, you know, completing the theory, and instead just fomenting people's fear and worst instincts that maybe we do have, you know, bad people at play here. And, you know, kind of feeds this whole, you know, deep state theory that there's this deep state of people controlling everything.
Yeah,
and
their names are like healthy. Pete Hegseth, Samuel Alito,
That's right. I mean, sadly, at this point, you know, we've got serious issues here, but nonetheless, you can't, you know, responsibly put things out like that and then not complete the sentence and complete where it is you're coming from. I just think it's totally irresponsible, and it's unfortunate.
Folks, we got former congressman and former secretary of the Department of Revenue under Governor Evers, Peter Barker, friend of mine, now a friend of each and every one of you. I'll just say this about Ron Johnson. Everybody knows that friend from, I don't know, high school or college that is the BS artiste of like the highest level, where they drop a couple techno speak terms and they kind of sound like they know what they're talking about. Mm-hmm. But because you've known this person for a long time, you're like, nah, they're just full of it. They read something about 5 minutes ago or heard somebody that actually knew what they're, and now they're just spitting it out. Rojo reads like that to me every time I hear him talking, except when Rojo defends all of the tax loopholes and tax breaks for the richest of rich, rich, rich Americans. So I wanted to talk with you about this next, Mr. Peter Barker, and that is the influence of money in politics. Let's start with a really simple question, because we got to take care of a little business, then we'll come back on the other side. Here's my question. Peter, if you were a member of Congress or a senator or a governor, would you support a constitutional amendment to declare that money is not speech and that we can regulate the spending of money in political campaigns?
Oh, in a heartbeat. Absolutely. I have in the past. I continue to. I think it's one of the most corrosive effects on, you know, elected, you know, politicians today, and just, you know, they have an inordinate effect. And Citizens United, I believe, is one of the worst decisions ever. But, you know, the irony of Citizens United and Justice Scalia, who wrote, you know, at great length on this opinion, one of the things that he includes, which people forget, and even though I disagree with his decision before Citizens United, he also said that what needed to go along with that was complete transparency on where the money came from. And we don't have any of that.
Folks, we got former Congressman, Secretary of the Department of Revenue under Governor Evers, Peter Barker. You're going to want to keep it locked. We continue to discuss the actual deep state and the actual swamp that comes from billionaire overlords deciding policy that impacts good middle-class families like yours and mine right here in the state of Wisconsin. Keep it locked. Our great discussion continues. 855-752-4842. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
Ross, calling in.
Thanks for your show. I'm just wondering if we're watching or witnessing a legal system that, where what we thought was precedent is now going to be sort of cast away.
The reality is, the question that you raise about the future? And what are the implications when, in fact, the things we understood always to be bedrocks of our community, of our nation, are no longer that?
Amicus, a law review, Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
When a parent sees their child smile, they see hope. Aleem hoped that his son Rajib would have an easier life than he had. You see, Rajib, just like his father, was born with a cleft. But thanks to Smile Train, both father and son received free, life-changing surgeries, transforming their smiles into symbols of hope. To learn more and support the global cleft community, visit smiletrain.org/learn. Smile Train, changing the world one smile at a time.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
David Hogg, Democratic National Committee Vice Chair, says, no, we're going to spend $20 million to take out fellow Democrats who are either too old or not voting progressive enough. And Republicans are doing this as well. They don't want any compromise, zero-sum game. I spent 30 years in politics. The best politics are pragmatic. You get 75% of the loaf and you move on.
Catch the Todd Allbaugh Show at its new time. Weekdays 2 to 4 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
The first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on waukradio.com/contest-terms. As Wisconsin is summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome if you're just joining us. My name is Maggie Naughton. I've got a great guest with me to close out this half hour. His name is Peter Barca. He is a former congressperson for this great state of Wisconsin and former secretary of the Department of Revenue, among other roles. He has served the public with great aplomb and integrity for many years. Thanks so much for being here, Peter. We were talking about money in politics. And the fact that every single poll, and more perhaps most importantly for this discussion, polls by very conservative organizations, the Cato Institute, American Enterprise Institute, pick your poison. When they poll, over 85, sometimes over 90% of Americans don't like the level of money in politics, and yet we can't seem to get to a place where elected officials are actively advocating for a constitutional amendment because the Supreme Court declared that money is speech and corporations are people. And so there is this unlimited fire hose of money going into elections. We've seen the most expensive Supreme Court election in our nation's history. How do we fix this? How do we make it better?
Well, I mean, there's a group called End Citizens United. They endorse me because I want End Citizens United. And people need to continue to speak out. I'm glad when they put this on referendums in the most Republican areas, they pass overwhelmingly because people understand that their influence in government is diminished dramatically when you can have these techno, corporations like just control exactly what's going to happen here in America. And it's not in the public interest. And it's worse than it's ever been because, as we said before the break, Justice Scalia, while he was for it, and I'm certainly not, but he at least said, well, at least have to have transparency. We have no transparency. There's all this dark money coming into politics today by these groups you never heard of, like, Citizens for a Better Democracy or Citizens for Change.
Those sounds very
benign. Right. And who knows if the, Chinese are funding it, the Russians, the Iranians. We have absolutely no idea where that money's coming from. And you know, we're more vulnerable than ever because people, sadly, are so dependent now on social media for their news, which has no checks and balances and no responsibility behind what they put on the air. I mean, CBS, ABC, any regular station can be sued if they say things that right. are completely false and have been. And but you can put anything you
and
want
have
on Facebook.
And paid settlements, even when what they've said wasn't completely right, false or right, otherwise constitutionally right. protected. Just to give people a flavor, I dare any conservative Trump supporter to call me and make an argument that Donald Trump isn't a guy that revels in people trying to buy influence with him. I mean, that's sort of the Trump brand, right? And if you don't believe me, here's a little recent gut check on this. The Easter egg roll, the White House Easter egg roll had no less than 11 activities. This was just yesterday with corporate sponsors. Can you guess who they were, Peter? The cryptocurrency company Gala hosted a digital egg hunt. Betty Crocker Dessert hosted a cookie decorating station. Paz ran an egg coloring activity. But of course, we got into sponsorship by Amazon and a whole other Google's, YouTube. Meta was sponsoring an AI-powered experience and photo opportunity. Yet again, Amazon there. Yeah, weird. Funny. We're now selling off little bits and pieces of the old Easter egg hunt. The corruption is real. We all hate it. We got to do something about it. What was the organization that you mentioned, Peter? I want to give that some airtime again.
Oh, and Citizens United. Yep.
Go check that out. Here's another one, folks. Please go check out Master Plan Podcast. The guy who created the podcast, and that's masterplanpodcast.com, was a guest on my show when I was doing the Maggie and the Millionaires segment. And he goes through the entire history from Buckley v. Vallejo all the way through Citizens United. Buckley v. Vallejo was decided in 1976, y'all. It was the first time the Supreme Court was like, man, maybe we can't regulate money in politics. And here's what I will promise every single one of you. If you go check this out, you will be astounded. Since 1976, and then it got worse after the Citizens United decision. Look up, and you could ask your favorite AI bot for a plot, a graph plot showing income inequality, union membership, voting participation. Pick a metric. Pick what you think might reflect, hey, is our economy working for most of us most of the time? Pick your metric about, is democracy functioning for us? Whatever it is. And I guarantee you, you will see breaking points at 1976 and after Citizens United that basically show when a Supreme Court, when our system says money equals speech and makes corruption legal in our system, guess what? Our government works in general more often for the betterment of the wealthiest among us. Big shock. The wealthy can buy influence. The government works better for them, less for us. Peter, I
never heard of that podcast, Maggie, but that's
check it out.
I'm going to check it out.
Check it out. Another one is AmericanPromise.net.
That one I'm aware of.
Yep. That is a good one for listeners. Mm-hmm. We'll put these resources on our show notes. Again, that's End Citizens United. The other one is MasterPlanPodcast.com. The last one is AmericanPromise.net. Right. Very briefly, Peter, and I mean very briefly, you're a Harvard graduate. What does the Trump administration's attacks on Harvard and higher education portend for, say, the church people may be attending?
It's huge and it's sad. It's really shameful, frankly. And ironically, the whole pretense for this, and I'm not a graduate, though, but I did go to graduate school there. And but Harvard, their chapter of Hillel, which is a global advocacy organization for Jewish college students, and that's the whole pretense for going after
Correct.
Harvard and many of these universities. They said last week on social media, despite positive elements of the government's demands, the current escalating federal assault against Harvard, shuttering political life-saving research, targeting universities' tax exempt standards, and threatening all student visas actually is bad for us.
That's from Hillel, an advocacy, global advocacy, anti-Semitism support for Jewish students within the university structure, saying this ain't good. for any institution. If they can go after Harvard, which of your businesses, your place of worship, or your other private institutions are next on the hit list? We've got Dr. Marty Kanarek joining us next to talk about the lead paint crisis in MPS schools. You're going to want to keep it locked right here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
A new choice, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation, 540 WAUK.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Dozens of foreign students attending universities nationwide are suing to stop their visas from being revoked as the Trump administration terminates their records in an online database. CBS's Nicole Skenga.
Keep in mind, all of this is playing out as the State Department has said it's using AI to comb over social media foreign students to identify threats, including possible connections to Hamas or other terrorist groups.
Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. wants to ban 8 food dyes found in things like cereal and sports drinks.
I was talking with my staff about these petroleum-based dyes, and I said if they want to add petroleum, they want to eat petroleum, they ought to add it themselves at home.
Who will succeed Pope Francis? CBS's Seth Doan is in Rome.
Pope Francis really tried to elevate cardinals from different parts of the world, unknown church leaders, and part of that is not knowing how they might vote. So that is the wild card.
CBS News Brief. I'm Stacey.
The Bucks lose again. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks losing to the Pacers in Indianapolis. The final 123-115 in favor of the Pacers. Indy dominated the game throughout. Bucks only pulling to within 5 points with just a few minutes left in the fourth quarter. Giannis Antetokounmpo had 34 points. Damian Lillard, in his first game back, played 37 minutes, scored 14 points. Game 3 of the series, Friday night in Milwaukee at Fiserv Forum. Tip-off time, 7 o'clock. The Pacers now lead the best-of-seven series, 2 games to nothing. Baseball, Brewers and Giants playing tonight in San Francisco. NFL, the draft coming up in Green Bay on Thursday night. I asked Brian Gutekunst about a former first-round draft pick, Lucas Van Ness, and what does he expect from him this year at defensive end?
Yeah, we have high expectations for Lucas. We always kind of have. Obviously, we took him very early, but we're very excited where he is on his developmental path and expect big things from him this year. So certainly, if we're going to get to where we want to go to, he's going to be a big part of that.
That's Packers GM Brian Gutekunst with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Will there ever be a sequel to The Big Lebowski? If Jeff Bridges and Julianne Moore had their say, it would be absolutely. Unfortunately, it is the Coen brothers, Joel and Ethan, who seem against the idea. The Coen brothers have not made a sequel to any of their work, although Bridges said they do tend to surprise people sometimes. In addition to no sequels, the brothers also have not made a film together since 2018's The Ballad of Buster Scruggs. When he's not trying to sell you his own products like Aviation Gin or Mint, Ryan Reynolds actually makes films. He starred opposite Hugh Jackman in 2024's Deadpool and Wolverine. Recently, Jackman took a good-natured swipe at his pal Reynolds by telling a crowd at Radio City Music Hall that Jackman was curiously left out of a dance scene in the film. Don't worry, there is no awkwardness. Jackman did assure everyone in the crowd they are bros for life. Thank goodness for that. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Mostly cloudy skies. Light northwest winds developing in the overnight as lows drop to the mid-40s. We'll see shower and thunderstorm chances on the increase for Wednesday. Mostly cloudy skies. Winds turning to the southeast as our highs top out in the upper 50s. Currently 46 degrees.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Mike Starr joins us here on Nightlight. Your timing, Goodfellas, Mike. What you just said was an ad lib to De Niro. He's like security, and you're saying, you're looking at him.
Well, that whole scene was improvised. And he said, make sure you don't call it ad libbing. It's improvisation. It was quite a process that Martin Scorsese put us through over a few days that it would come out like that. It wasn't just like, hey, how you doing?
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
I used to smoke. I thought of cigarettes as my best friend.
They were always there for me when I needed a break.
I also thought cigarettes were my best friend, and then they gave me peripheral artery disease.
I smoked and had a stroke. Actually, multiple strokes.
I smoked and have heart disease.
Here's my tip. If cigarettes are your friend, you need a better friend.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the CDC.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome three filmmakers from the Milwaukee Film Festival. Toby Jones and Ben Hansen join the show to talk about their film, AJ Goes to the Dog Park, and Mark Evans talks about his film, The Diamond King.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome, everybody. We have entered the last half hour in this time slot for the Maggie Dawn Show. Remember to set your watches and calendars. Tomorrow you can find me on this fine radio network starting at 4 p.m. That's where you'll find me every Monday through Friday going forward in that drive time slot. We're going to have some fun, hopefully educate, share some ideas with one another. And I'm really happy to have my final guest for my time slot today. None other than Dr. Marty Kanarek, who is an expert in epidemiology, teaches about air pollution, human health, and environmental health at Wisconsin's flagship university, the University of Wisconsin-Madison. He is a professor of population health sciences and environmental studies. He received his PhD in epidemiology from the University of California at Berkeley and his master's in public health and environmental health from the University of Minnesota. He worked for the U.S. EPA in its infancy, I'll say, from 1972 to 1978 before coming to Wisconsin. This man knows of whence he speaks, and he's going to share some of that knowledge with each and every one of you. Thank you so much, Dr. Kanarek, for joining us today. Let's just jump right into the lead problem that we're seeing in public schools. Is this something that is isolated to large urban school systems, or is this something that parents need to be paying attention to regardless of where their children may be attending school?
Thank you for the great introduction. It's great to be here. Lead is a toxic problem in every urban area where there are old houses that have old lead paint in them. Lead is a, you know, we talk about different environmental substances and how bad they are, but lead, the effect of lead on the brains of kids is the best researched thing we have in our field. It said lead makes the mind go away. So this incident in Milwaukee, of the Milwaukee Public Schools, is serious because it's lead, but we've been fighting the war against lead for 100 years. And in many ways, we've done a great job. You know, there are thousands and thousands of old houses in each inner city, and we're trying to get rid of the lead in them. And it's just, and we've lowered the lead levels from dust, from the old paint, and we've taken out lead pipes, and we've removed lead from gasoline. But our research has shown there's no safe level of lead. So we've lowered our level of concern. So in Milwaukee schools, the level of lead they found is probably 20 years ago, we would have said that's no problem. But our research now shows that it is a problem.
Folks, that's Dr. Marty Kanarek from the University of Wisconsin-Madison, professor of population health sciences and environmental studies. So if a parent has a child that's attending a school that was built prior to 1978 and they've got a concern about lead, what's your advice to them, Dr. Marty? Is it sufficient to do annual blood tests when they go in for their physical with their pediatricians? If a parent is extraordinarily concerned, what would you recommend to help put parents' minds at ease?
Well, it is that go to their doctor. And once a year, the doctor should do a fingerprint test. It's very simple. It hardly even hurts. They put a lollipop right quickly into the kid's mouth. And it's a little capillary tube of blood, and they get any lab in many places can do a test. If they're concerned right now, if there's in those seven schools, if the parents are concerned, they can get a blood test at their doctor's office's lab, a finger prick test. If they don't know where to go to get the test, the local health department will help. So getting a test is what we recommend for blood lead.
Yeah, and to keep getting those tests, to monitor it, especially because lead's bad for any of us at any age, but as you were explaining, Dr. Kanarek, it is worse and potentially life-altering in terms of cognition and brain development for kids who are exposed to any level of lead. So be on top of that. I wanted to expand our focus a bit, Dr. Kanarek, and ask you generally to speak to people who I think in good faith, perhaps under or misinformed, are challenged and are concerned about vaccination protocols, just the general approach to vaccinations and some of the information that's out there, their safety and efficacy, especially when it comes to kids. Obviously, we've had an administration change, a lot of different change in focus. When you're speaking, if there's a parent listening right now that is trying to weigh the pros and cons of complying with a physician, the AMA recommended vaccination schedule for their newborn infant and their other small children, what's your message to them, Dr. Kanarek, as they weigh that decision?
Vaccines are totally safe and totally important. The kids should get their MMR vaccines, measles, mumps, rubella vaccines. The idea of vaccines being dangerous it's been investigated all over the world by scientists, and the vaccines are totally not only safe, but important to keep your kids healthy.
So critical. If people are challenged by that and they are looking for different kinds of information, one of the concerns I've heard expressed to people is, gee whiz, I used to go to the Centers for Disease Control website and feel confident in reading the information presented there. As a researcher, Dr. Kanarek, as a scientist, if people are looking and read, they're seeing things on social media about vaccinations, they're hearing from people who may be famous because they see them in the news every day. Where do you recommend, Dr. Marty, for people to go to test or to check up on some of the things that they may hear alleged or stated on social media or from other sources about particular vaccines or other
environmental toxins?
Exactly. Thank you.
I mean, traditionally, we would go to the Centers for Disease Control site, the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency site. If you're having, you know, in this new era of government, if you're worried about them, I would go to the Mayo Clinic site, the Cleveland Clinic site. I mean, they are not affected by government shutdowns and stuff. So there are those legitimate medical sites. If you want to learn about lead or vaccines, Mayo Clinic is always accurate.
Mayo Clinic right in our backyard here, our neighbors in Minnesota to our west here. Is it a good idea for people to try to consume or understand actual published medical literature or other scientific studies?
Well, that's a tough thing to do. We teach medical students and graduate students how to decide what's the difference between a good study and a bad study. That's pretty tough. So it's nice if we can have some authority sites that we really trust. I looked up lead on the Centers for Disease Control site, and it's totally accurate today. So I hope it doesn't change. And I didn't look up vaccines.
Yeah.
But it talks about all the neurodevelopmental effects on children and the ways to prevent and all the different exposure pathways and the ways to prevent them in children and to give your kids good calcium and iron foods. And it's a totally accurate site for lead exposure anyway.
Does it remain a good option for people to ask their family physicians, to ask, to reach out to research institutions or places like, again, Mayo Clinic, Cleveland Clinic? Is it okay to give them a call? Will they be able to direct people to the right places? Is, again, talking to your family physician, does that remain a good source for people to go to?
That should be, yes. They, you know, they get these same questions over and over, so they do their homework. And if you trust them,